ATOPS, Monday Manner Bible Study. Come on in. We want to see you logging on. Come on on. Hello, hello. Not sure you're there yet. There you are. You popped up. All right, I think we're ready.
All right, well, we praise God for each of you tonight who participated and a part of this time together. We're certainly grateful for God giving us yet another opportunity to be involved and to study His Word. We're going to talk about a very interesting topic tonight, or discussion subject tonight, talking about God's grace and how important that is for us as believers. But before we get into all of that, we're going to have a word of prayer and just do a brief recap of the services and what happened at ATOP on yesterday. Let's pray. God, we're extremely grateful for your presence, your peace, your power, your protection. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for including us in your plan for this season. And we thank you for continuing to sustain us in the midst of everything that's going on in our world today. We thank you for your covering and your keeping power. And God, we pray now that you will order our steps and lead us through this time together tonight. And we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. We love you and we honor you, and we yet give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right. Well, we hope that each of you have logged on. Somebody let us know that we're getting a clear signal tonight. It's good to see the names of those who are on. Someone give us a thumbs up or just let us know that you're getting a clear signal as we prepare for this time together tonight, the 12th day of August. And I tell you, it's moving right through August. This weather doesn't appear to be like we're in the middle of summer, but we'll take it. And we praise God for how he blesses. And we need all of it. We need the sunshine and the rain. We need the cloudy days as well as the sunny days. And so we praise God for this opportunity he's afforded us tonight. Well, yesterday we had a powerful time in the Lord. I would say, as we heard from the executive pastor again on yesterday, as she poured into us and as she expounded upon the Word of God, a very powerful word and a scripture that many of us use in reference to the Great Commission. Can you slide over a little bit, Lady Kim? You just don't want to get close to me. Which one is it?
I'm good.
Most of us refer to it as the Great Commission. But I don't know if you even mentioned the Great Commission in that sermon yesterday. You may have, but the overarching and overriding theme was having to do with asking a very important question for all of us to ponder. And it was a preach-teaching moment. You spread your wings there a little bit and flapped them. And you took off and you landed real quick. But a very powerful word, doing or being, that is the question. Is that right?
That's correct.
And so you made the reference to how people oftentimes, they do church, but they don't be the church.
Right.
What's the distinction and the difference between doing and being?
Well, doing is just, coming to church and learning what you can. And a lot of people come to church every Sunday. A lot of people don't even come to Sunday school or Bible study. They just show up for Sunday worship and they listen to the choir, they listen to the preaching, then they go back home and come back the next Sunday for some more. But being the church means that you are actively pursuing or actively engaging in the Great Commission that Jesus commanded us in Matthew 28 19 through 20, where he said, "Go ye therefore into all, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I had commanded you, and I will be with you even until the end." And so that's the Great Commission, to go, to teach, to baptize, to go to teach and to baptize.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So that's being the church.
Yes.
Well, can we really do church without being the church?
You can. A lot of people do church. You know, they show up on Sunday and go back home and don't do anything but come back the next Sunday. So you can do church without being the church.
Okay. And really, the church is inside of us. Is
absolutely
that correct? And so being the church means being doing that which God has called us to
do. Absolutely. Being the salt and the light that you talked about a couple of weeks ago. We're the salt of the earth. We are to season, we are the light of the world. We are to not only do good deeds and show our light, but also tell of God's goodness and his grace and mercy. Salt, light, being the church.
Okay. So part of our witness involves us not just doing, but it also involves putting faith in motion and allowing our actions to really be a part of who we say we are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important, I think, for us to understand that our behavior should match our belief in God. What we believe about God is very crucial in terms of us going forth and doing what God would have us to do. Faith without works is dead. We know that's what James tells us. And many times we exhibit faith, but we don't put our faith in action. Would you agree with me on that?
That's right. Absolutely.
So, after reviewing and after just kind of settling down yesterday and hearing yourself preach and really kind of going back through that in your spirit, what was something that you would have said that you perhaps didn't say on yesterday?
I don't know. I hadn't thought about that.
Okay. Well, you don't have to rack your brain over that right now. I know you've been very busy today, and you're just as active in your workplace as you are in the church. But we're gonna make sure that we reduce some of that work situation here real soon, so that your focus will be on the church. But you know, as you were preaching, Lady Kim, I was thinking about how God never calls us to go without equipping us for what we need in order to be present in the space that he's calling us to. And many times people, they sit and they receive the word, and they are full of God's word. They are so full till they are just about to burst open. But when we activate that and when we go forward and participate and do, then that's when we see God begin to, you know, show himself strong in our situations and begin to do, help us to do that which he has called us to do. And it's there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And many times when we don't step out, we never fully understand the magnitude of what we have on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. And so the devil has so put us on pause to the point where we're not really engaging ourselves and using the power that we possess to be who God has called us to be. And so I was very encouraged by the word yesterday, and I believe those who were yet present and viewing virtually were as well, because it really gave us something to think about, and it also gave us clarity in that in which we have heard before about going forth and doing that which God has called us to do.
Amen. Dr. Tunstall has something interesting. He says, a great commitment to the Great Commission and Great Commandment will grow a great church.
Okay.
Amen. It most certainly will.
That's great. So when the people get a sense of understanding the power that we possess, then we won't be intimidated by what the enemy is trying to keep us. You know, the enemy try to keep us locked in, confined and confused and frustrated. He comes to steal, kill and destroy, of course. But once we recognize and start operating in the capacity of our power, I think that's when the church begins to become a great church and it begins to grow. And we only have a few people who have seemingly immersed themselves in what we have been trying to get them to see. I was so grateful for our member, Sister Robinson, I believe her name. She invited her whole family and almost filled up two rows of seats.
Amen.
And we had some other visitors there as well. But you know, we seem like we want to wait for somebody else to do what God has called us to do.
Right.
And one of the things that really hinders the work of the church is that when we don't use our gifts and we expect others to fulfill the task of the church. But you know, nobody can do what God has called you to do. Nobody can fill the void in the body of Christ that God has given for you to fill. And so I want to encourage those who are viewing. We have put a challenge out for people to invite. We have also put a challenge out in encouraging people to pray about how they would be salt in this sin-sick world and allowing their lights to shine. And once we activate our faith, I think we will see some amazing results in terms of what we're expecting to happen.
Amen. And I think a lot of people are intimidated to share their faith, you know, and sharing your faith is simply just telling what God has done for you, you know. In normal conversation, you can kind of come around to ask a person if they know Jesus Christ in their life. You know, you don't have to, people used to call them in my day Bible thumpers. All they did was quote scripture and say you were going to hell because you were doing wrong. But, you know, let's not focus on the negative things. Let's focus on the positive things that God has done for us. And in that sharing or in that witnessing, tell of God's saving grace and mercies. We've all done things that were unpleasing in God's eyesight, but we want to lift up Jesus Christ and that he's come to seek and save that which is lost. And so we were all once lost, you know, but now we're found. Hallelujah. Like amazing grace. We were once lost, but now we're found. Blind, but now we see. And some others are just like that. But let's show them the light of Jesus Christ in us and go forward.
So you gave us very simple, some simple steps in order to help eliminate some of the fear that many times people have in terms of their witness. And you're absolutely correct. We don't have to just start quoting a bunch of scripture and trying to convince people about how spiritual we are. But people want to just hear basic, they want to see the realness in you. And I think when they see that, it'll be evident of your relationship with God. We talked about our outreach effort with our Meals from the Heart, and that's becoming a very strategic ministry in the life of the church in terms of how we are able to not only feed, but you added another component to that on yesterday in terms of the ABCs of our witness. Would you share that with us?
Amen. And A was accept Jesus. And so when we approach people, you know, and talk to them, at some point we could say, you know, do you know Jesus is Lord and Savior of your life? If they say yes, awesome, God bless you. If they say no, you know, say, would you like to accept them? Because all you have to do to accept Jesus in your life is to believe that he's the Son of God and that he died on the cross and rose with all power in his hands. And then all you have to do is confess your sins, not to me, but to God. Ask God to forgive you of your sinfulness. So the ABCs are accept, believe, and confess. And God says that we'll be saved. Amen. As a result.
Okay. So it makes it very understandable and for those who yet have this fear factor.
Right.
And they think that they have to rememorize.
You did.
All right. That's a new word. Y'all go ahead and put that down. You heard it first right here.
Is it a word?
It can be. All of the words that we have were not words before they became words. So, yeah, absolutely. And so when we remember the scripture, it becomes evident in our speech and our behavior, and our behavior should match our belief. And so if it's in there, then it'll be evident in your conversation. And it's not about trying to corral a bunch of people and bring them to ATOP. We're talking about kingdom souls and kingdom witness and kingdom lives being changed. And just so happen if they decide to come and be a part of Anointed Temple of Praise, and you talked about the distance in terms of our travels and our outreach, then we welcome them with open arms. But we want to make sure that they understand that they are part of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the goals that we have for this year, people mm-hmm. are eagerly looking for souls to come into ATOP. But the challenge is for us to engage people where they are. And when, so we're not telling you to take a little counter and have it with you about everybody who accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. But it'll be evident that we have done our part in terms of helping to make sure that lives are changed, people are delivered and set free by the power of God and accepting him as Lord and Savior of their lives.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Dr. Butler says people don't like rejection, but that's an indication that they are making it personal instead of lifting up Jesus.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah. So it's not about us,
mm-hmm.
but it's all about him. So take the focus off of us. You know, you're right. We do not like rejection. We don't like people to tell us no. But if someone tells you no, the Bible says to shake the dust off and go on and keep on going, you know. So
go ahead and read what she said.
Dr. Butler said, rememorize was once a word used in the 15th century. Sources say it is obsolete.
Okay. Well, it was used once. All right. Well, that's the whole thing about words. I mean, you know, every word that we speak was not a word at one time, but they had to find something to fill that void. But we don't really want to get into that and go down that rabbit hole. But I know that some of us, I'm not going to say that, but I praise God that we are yet finding a way, because we talked about the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13 last week about love. Jesus really was emphasizing the fact that I will show you a more excellent way,
mm-hmm.
and how the Corinthian church had gotten caught up in their gifts and how they were trying to really allow their gifts to be more vocal than, you know, the love that they were expressing to each other. And so that more excellent way was what he was describing, had to deal with unconditional love. And we talked a little bit about that last week. And the same is true when it comes to our witness. And we shouldn't get so caught up in our personal platform till we fail to allow our witness to be in the forefront and Jesus being lifted. And I think that's part of what Dr. Butler is saying as well. And so when the rejection hits, it's primarily because you feel it's an attack on you personally, and that, you know, you feel kind of deflated because you thought you were all of that and spiritual and all high and mighty, and somebody deflated your ego, and so you're running high and not really continue to be effective. But that's an excellent point, Dr. Butler. And so we praise God for those who are yet being witnesses. And, you know, you don't have to wait for a challenge to come forth from the pulpit for you to really do what God has called you to do. Isn't that right?
That's right.
And so what we're doing as we gather is just trying to reemphasize the importance and the significance of us being salt and being light and doing what God has called us to do and not just being stationary. That's, I think you mentioned that on
right.
yesterday, but mm-hmm. being missionary. What does that mean, Lady Kim?
Missionary means to go.
You know,
the mission mm-hmm. field. You hear about missionaries going to other countries
mm-hmm.
and spreading the gospel. But a mission field is not only going overseas somewhere. A mission field can be your neighborhood, your community.
Right.
You know, the other side of town.
Your house, right.
It could be your household, your family.
Right.
So,
helping people get saved in your own house. Right?
Absolutely.
Getting baptized in your own house.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Your family and your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, the time is getting away from us, but is there anything else you want to add? I heard a resounding second to the motion that was put on the floor yesterday at church for you to go ahead and do a part three. And so why are you looking all sorrowful of spirit?
I'm not looking sorrowful of spirit.
Okay. Yeah. So we waiting to hear from you on that.
That's a resounding no.
Wow.
Well, I won't say it's not a no. It's not this coming Sunday. That's what it is.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I hear you loud and clear. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes it's no. And sometimes
it's
wait. And maybe
sometimes
so.
Sometimes it's
right?
slow. And sometimes it's flow.
And then it'll glow. And all like that. Right? Okay. All right. Well, Lady Kim, thank you so much. I mean, that was a powerful word on yesterday. And we had the Lord added to the church. I mean, you know, it just does my heart good to see new members come. And, you know, our former members, the Taylors, they were present for the second Sunday. And I just went over and engaged them in conversation. And I do that based upon being led by the Spirit, and I don't try to put anybody on the spot. And they were thinking the same thing that I asked them, you know. And I think they were just waiting on someone to kind of ask that question to them. I said, y'all ready to come back home? They looked at each other and said, yeah, yes, Pastor, we're ready to come back home. I said, well, come on. I'm going to walk up there with you. Come on, walk with me. And so, you know, we're so excited. They have a rich history at ATOP and a lot of things. A lot of people probably don't even know them from the time that they were there. But we are certainly grateful that they were reunited. And the other young lady, I think her name was Gwen, came and...
She rededicated.
Yeah.
LaRonda.
Okay. Okay. You go ahead. You're going to take the rest of those words out of my mouth because... That's what I was about to say, but you good at, you know, saying, thinking what I'm already about to say.
Her name was LaRonda. She rededicated her life. So I'm glad that the message had the effect that it did, because some people even came up to me at church and said that they're going to start being the church. They really hadn't thought about it the way that I had stated it on yesterday. So... God's word never returns void.
All right, Professor. Thank you so much for that powerful word. And thank God for each of you. And we know that you're going to participate in letting your light shine in such a way that you're not going to just do church, but you're going to be the church. Isn't
Amen.
That right?
Amen. That's correct.
All right. Why is Dr. Qualis laughing so much? What is so funny? All right. Well, let's move on. We're talking tonight about a very pivotal topic in the life of the church, in the life of the believer. And we've had a discussion around this before, but we're just going to touch on some of the final points about God's grace, understanding God's grace and how important that is for the believer, and some of the benefits of God's grace, because I think it's one of those things that we often take for granted, or we don't fully appreciate. And all right, Dr. Qualis, why you got all these caps on all these words? What is that? Understanding God's grace is fundamental to believers today. Would you agree with me on that?
It is, yes.
And I think it kind of helps form the cornerstone of our faith and our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people abuse God's grace. Sometimes people misunderstand God's grace. But grace can be defined in several ways. Many times when we define it, we talk about the unmerited favor of God, and it's given freely to those of us as believers despite our shortcomings. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we don't earn. It's something that we don't deserve. It's all because of God being gracious to us and giving us that which we don't really deserve.
Amen.
Would you agree with me on that?
Absolutely. That's the definition that I have.
Okay. So what would you try to help break out in terms of getting people to get more clarity as it relates to understanding God's grace? What would be some of the things that you would kind of break out?
Well, one thing that God's grace is there for us, even in our at our weakest times.
Okay.
And 2 Corinthians 12:19 says, "For my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Mm-hmm. So that means that God is big enough to handle any situation or take care of any problem that we might have. We just have to continue to put our trust in Him.
Okay. So that's one of the benefits of God's grace.
Yes.
Understanding that it's sufficient, mm-hmm. and that He's there even when we don't know He's there, and undergirding us in those times when we think that we're all by ourselves. Mm-hmm. I know that's not exactly what mm-hmm. you said, but I was just kind of paraphrasing what you just said.
And that when we're going through trials and our trying times, that we have to trust God.
Okay.
Because He's saying that His favor is sufficient. His unmerited and unwavering grace or favor towards us. You know, and so we have to trust God and understand that God's grace is enough for us in mm-hmm. that time that we're going through.
Okay. So what is, in your opinion, what does grace look like, and how do we recognize it? And I know that's not something that we jotted down in terms of our discussion, but what does grace look like to you, Lady Kim, and how do we actually recognize it?
Grace is...
And this is not one of your dissertation statements for your final exam. I mean, you've already gotten a degree.
Well, grace is not about what we do, but it's about who God is.
Okay.
So, grace is not about what we do, but it's about who God is. So God is really gracious enough, even when we are ungrateful, He's gracious enough to give us more than what we deserve.
Wow, that's deep. You know, because grace I think it's like a unseen space that God has provided to capture and to cover us in our time of hurt, in our time of struggle, and even in our time of enjoying the experience of the journey. Many times we think that we're doing it in and of ourselves, and failed to realize that it was God's grace that brought us through, because I think it's recognizable, not so much in when we're going through, but when we look back in the rearview mirror of what God has done.
Mm-hmm.
We can't help but say that it was nobody but God. It was nobody but God's grace. It was grace that we say oftentimes woke us up this morning, and it was grace that started us on our way. But when we try to get an image of that, we know that it's something, it's an invisible manifestation of God's presence in our situation, even when we don't understand that he's there all the time.
Amen.
Yeah.
Man, Dr. Q said, you know, just from a horizontal perspective, remember when you got a bill that came and it had a grace period on it. So that means you had a little extra time extended to you.
Mm-hmm.
There were some days you needed that extra time to figure out what you were going to do. And she likens this to God's grace, extra time for us to figure out what we're going to do about a situation. So we should use the time wisely and choose God. Amen.
Okay. Part of the scripture in Ephesians, and I don't know if you have your Bible pulled up, Ephesians, the second chapter, and verses 8 and 9, it has to do with unconditional love and how God's grace is, God's grace demonstrates his unconditional love toward us. And in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, what does that say?
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Okay. So this really kind of, in my opinion, this reassures us as believers that we do not need to earn God's love or his approval. It's a gift that he freely gives.
Amen.
And sometimes people feel as if they have to do a certain thing, or they have to impress God, you know, or try to earn God's approval in order to be a recipient of his grace.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's something, it's a reassurance based upon what Ephesians is saying.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't need to do that. God has already done everything, and it's a gift that he gives freely. And so it kind of puts me in the mind of when you know, preparing gifts during Christmas or for someone's birthday. I mean, of course, out of the generosity of the person, of the giver, we receive those gifts. And many times it's not because of, and most of the time, well, probably all the time, not because of something we did,
mm-hmm.
you know, to earn the gift. It's because the giver wanted to freely give that gift as an expression of their love.
Amen.
Would you agree with me on
Absolutely.
That?
And I love the way sometimes you, I come home and there'd be flowers on the table. Nothing I did to deserve.
Why you kick them under the table like that? What's up with that?
Flowers on the table, and you know, nothing that I've done, but just because you love me, you bring flowers and to show your appreciation and love for me. Undeserved, unmerited, uncalled for, but just doing it because of your love. And that's how God is. He opens our eyes in the morning, allows us to see a new day. We can hear, we have the activities of our limbs. God doesn't have to do it, but he does it unconditionally. Loves us even though we are sinful beings, he still loves us. So, you know, grace is the space in which God's spirit can bridge the gap between our unwillingness to comply with all that he's put down and said in his word. I don't know if I said that right.
No, but you said it right. That's good. So I'm gonna have to see about these flowers and stuff because I hear you. You know, I might not catch up, but I catch on quick. But no, I understand, and that's a perfect example because sometimes people feel that others have to do something to earn something from them before they express their appreciation or love.
Right.
But it's unmerited when it comes to, and it's unconditional when it comes to the grace that we have as it relates to God giving it to us. And it's something that we don't deserve. We're saved by grace through faith and not by our works. That's where we're going.
Amen.
All right. Any other thought there? There are several benefits that we can really see that's attached to us understanding the importance and the significance of God's grace and how blessed we are because of it. Look at Romans, the 5th chapter, verse number 1, and see what that has to say. Romans 5 and 1.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, we have peace with God, being justified by faith. So this has a lot to do with grace being provided as an act of forgiveness for sins and reconciliation with God. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with me on that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so we have to understand that believers can live without guilt or fear. And so many of us, we walk around feeling guilty and we walk around in fear because of what we have done in the past. But knowing that Christ's sacrifice, if you will, covers all of our transgressions, all of our sins, it should be a point of empowerment for living.
Mm-hmm.
It should give us a boldness when we wake up in the morning knowing that we're covered. And the enemy, the only thing he can do is bring up our past.
Amen.
But God points us toward our destiny.
Thank you, Lord.
And pushes us in the direction of moving past the pain of our past and gives us the opportunity to be empowered for a new day because he has forgiven us of our sins and he has given us his unconditional love, and also he has bestowed upon us grace for the hour.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So I'm excited about that. Let's look at Titus, the 2nd chapter, and verse 11 through 12. For those of you just joining us, we're talking about some of the fundamentals as it relates to understanding God's grace, and then the benefits of it for us as believers today, and how it's something that God has bestowed upon us, and there's nothing we can do to earn it, or there's nothing we can do to work for it, but it's a gift of God.
Mm-hmm.
And many times we abuse God's grace or we misuse it. Is that the same thing, misuse and abuse?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be mindful of that, because when someone gives you something freely and you understand the magnitude of the gift, it can easily be abused.
Okay.
If you don't really use it properly.
Okay.
All right.
That's good.
What is it?
Titus, the 2nd chapter.
Yes, in verses 11 and 12.
Yeah. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
So that ties right in with what I was just saying, because all too often we want to take advantage of, if you will, of that which God has given us freely. But when you look at Titus, it means having the strength to resist temptation and to grow in holiness through the work of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that God has given us covering in a real sense for us to be able to do that which he's called for us to do.
Amen.
You have another scripture there.
No, I was looking at it in another translation.
What does it say?
And the New King James said, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age."
Okay. So we have to resist temptation, and we have to bind that spirit, and we have to rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Because, you know, once we, I think the Bible says, don't think it's strange concerning the trials and what you are to go through. And another passage talks about how when we're tempted, it's not of God, you know, it's the temptation that we have within ourselves that causes us to sin.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay. And so God's grace is unconditional love towards us or for us, and he forgives us of our sins.
Okay, all right. Let's look at a couple more scriptures, then we're going to wrap it up for tonight, Lady Kim. This is one that I'm sure that we're already familiar with, but Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and verse number 16. We're talking about some of the fundamentals for us as believers as it relates to grace and how important it is for us to understand that grace really forms the foundation or the cornerstone for our faith and our trust in God, and how God's grace is his unmerited favor toward us, and how he has given it to us freely and despite our own shortcomings. Isn't that right?
Yes.
So in Hebrews 4 and 16, what does it say?
"Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need."
Okay. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we might find what?
Mercy.
Mercy.
And
what?
And grace.
And grace.
Obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need.
Okay.
So I guess that means that we don't need to be bashful, or we don't need to be ashamed. We need to come boldly before
That's right.
God.
That's right.
And ask for what we want.
That's right. And so that's part of the whole essence of what we have been circling around for the past several weeks when we talk about prayer. You know, when we understand God's grace and the benefits of it, it should give us confidence in our prayer, because we don't have to worry or fret. God has our back. He knows what we need, and he stands ready, willing, and able to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And so we can come before him without fear, and we can be comfortable in his presence because we are covered by God's righteousness, and we're covered by his joy and by his peace. Even if the world may look like it's falling apart or things not going according to what we would want them to go in the spirit realm, and what we see in the natural is contrary to that, God is not forsaken. God is not forgotten about us. He's still on the throne. Wouldn't you agree with me on
Amen.
That, Lady Kim?
Yes, sir.
And that he still has everything under control.
Mm-hmm. And nothing I found out is about God's grace is that when we use our gifts that God has given us, when we help others, God's grace is extended to us. Sometimes, you know, when we're concerned about our own needs and wrapped up in our own situations, it's hard to get beyond where we are. But when we reach out and help somebody else and do something for somebody else, God's grace is extended towards us. And many times our situations are resolved as a result.
That's right. That's
so God's right. grace is extended to us as we use our gifts to help someone else.
Absolutely. All right. Well, is there a particular scripture that you had on your list of things there that you wanted to lift up?
No, not today.
But when we really try to tie a bow around this, in summary, we understand God's grace profoundly impacts us as believers in this world today. It really grants us freedom from our sin. It empowers us toward godly living. It brings joy in the midst of our challenges, and it motivates our service toward others, as you just indicated. And it gives us that blessed assurance that we have eternal security in Christ.
Amen.
I said a mouthful right there.
Yes, you did.
Because that's just how important God's grace is to us and how much God loves us. And it's something that we ought not take for granted or take lightly. But understand that once we come into full, I guess once we fully embrace that, then it should make a difference not only in our lives, but in the lives of those that we are surrounded by.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. All right. Well, we're gonna wrap it up for tonight. We have a few more minutes, but we want to give you an opportunity to list any prayer concerns that you might have. Sister Joyce Perkins called a few minutes ago. That was her call. And Jerry, they admitted him to the hospital on this past weekend. And so I think she was calling to give me an update. But we want to continue to lift Jerry Perkins up and Joyce in our prayers as we prepare to close out. Are there any other requests that any of you might have tonight as we prepare to wrap up our time together?
I know we want to lift up Brother Eddie Chavez and his family and the loss of his nephew. That funeral will be on Friday. On Friday in Phoenix City, Alabama. Mm-hmm. And then Sister Erin Jethro texted me today and asked for prayer as she's dealing with COVID.
Wow.
So she asked that we put her on the prayer list.
Okay.
We also want to lift up Sister Lurleen Goodlow,
mm-hmm.
As she's been placed on hospice.
Okay. We had a chance to get in to see the doctor today, and I'm glad I did stay in. Lady Kim knows last, when you told me Sunday, but I wasn't in no shape to go nowhere anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I told him I had tested negative. And he said from everything that the indications is probably I had a slight touch of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm glad I was quarantined during that time and how you didn't kiss me or anything. But he gave me some cough syrup, told me that's going to push up the rest of that nagging cough out of me, but that I had overcome pretty much some of the symptoms of what I was feeling when I was going through with the little coughing spell and everything.
Mm-hmm. All right. Brother Martez, yes, sir. Sister Pat Eccles,
That's right.
Put her on the prayer list.
Absolutely.
Also lift her up in prayer.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that.
Okay. What is Sister Holmes, Carolyn, saying there?
I guess we should show kindness and love and get joy out of doing it, because God shows it towards us each and every day, His grace and His mercy.
Absolutely. All right. It's not for us to display and put on the jar and set it up on the shelf, is it?
Right.
It's for us to share it with others and to be exhibitors of God's grace in how we handle and treat people.
Amen.
You agree?
That's right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other prayer requests coming through, Lady Kim?
None others right now.
Okay. I know we're closing out a little early tonight, and we probably will do so on next week as well. But will you close us out with a word of prayer?
I might have another one. No. Let us pray.
There's one coming through there.
Sister Sharon Jackson needs prayer for her brother going up for parole soon. Let us pray. Gracious God in heaven, we thank you for allowing us this opportunity to share in Bible study and talk about your grace and how good your grace is towards us, God. We thank you, oh God, that your grace is enough. Your grace is sufficient
Yes, God.
Your grace looks beyond all our faults and meets every need. Your grace goes before us. Your grace helps us go through. Your grace helps us come through. So we thank you tonight, God, for your good grace.
Thank you, God.
We lift up all those prayer concerns tonight, God. We lift up Sister Pat Echols to you, God. We lift up Sister Lurleen Goodlow. We lift up Brother Jerry Perkins. We lift up Sister Erin Jethro. And God, we lift up Sister Sharon's brother. God, show grace and mercy towards him as he goes to the parole board, God. We thank you tonight, God, for all that you're doing in his life. And we ask, oh God, a special comforting blessing to be around Eddie Chavez and his family, and especially his sister that's lost her oldest child. So we thank you for the life of Brother Jerry Kerr Jr., and we ask that you would continue to comfort his loved ones during this most difficult time. So God, we thank you for all that you've done in our lives. We ask that you would continue to bless Anointed Temple of Praise as we go forth to do your holy and righteous will. We ask that you would provide all of our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We thank you for all those who work with our ministries, oh God. We thank you for our ministers, oh God. We thank you for Dr. Butler and Dr. Qualis, God. We thank you for our pastor, Dr. Murray, God, and his work and dedication to kingdom building. We thank you, oh God, for every ministry leader, oh God, who steps up, who has stepped up, God, to lead a ministry. Now, oh God, we ask that you would continue to bless us, to go with us, God. Oh God, we pray for the family of Mary Arrington as they lay her to rest, oh God. And we also pray for Eloise Hatcher, oh God, continue to touch her body and heal her like never before. Now we thank you, oh God, that you are in the midst of your people. And not only that, you're in the midst of these prayers. We thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you for answering our prayers. It's in the name of Jesus that we give thanks and abundant praise. Amen and thank God.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lady Kim, for that prayer as we close out tonight. Hope each of you have a great night tonight and enjoy the rest of the evening.
Amen. Don't forget, we'll travel to Little Rock, Arkansas this coming Sunday. The bus is already full. We have several cars going. So maybe if someone has room in their car, and if you want to go, maybe you can find out who has some room and jump in with them. But good night, everybody, and thank you for joining Bible study. See you next week. Bye-bye.